Amen. Amen. The message today is entitled, Is God a Liar? Is God a Liar? Well, let me just start off by saying, no, God is not a liar. But we are living in a realm of evil today that is saying God is a liar. I believe we are facing an evil today like never before. And it is saying God is a liar. We've always had sexual immorality in human society. We've always had that. But I believe what we are witnessing today in human history is an evil that has never before happened. And it is in regards, now bear with me, because I know that there are many that believe that in political correctness and they believe in all of this, but what I have to say has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with morals and the law of God. Okay? And so if you are not a person that is given into anger, if you are a person that is not given into anger, if you are a person that is open to hear both sides, I want to ask you, please, just bear with me for the next few moments in what I'm going to say. Now, everything that I am saying is based out of the Bible. Now, I know what you're going to say for those that may be watching. The Bible is full of fairy tale stories. And the Bible is a book that is written by people that didn't know each other, but yet they seem to be in hypocrisy towards one another. And the Bible is not relevant for today. You may say all of that, but as I was in part of prison ministry for many years, I would tell these inmates, you show me any other book in the world that has tried to been burned and banned and done away with, show me any other religious book that has endured the persecution that the Holy Bible has, and I will believe that book. The Bible has been written by a people of so many different authors that did not know each other, but yet there was a supernatural thing that happened in the writing of this book. There is no hypocrisy in this book. If there is something that we say, well, it's not relevant to today, it's because we just don't have the understanding, because you're approaching it from human wisdom, human secularism, and not from the Holy Spirit of God. No book has ever gone through what the Holy Bible has gone through. Kings, emperors, dictators, rulers, evil men have tried to ban the Bible, do away with the Bible, yet they're all gone and the Bible still stands. Why? Because the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain, what? Forever. Amen. Forever. And there is something about the Bible. It endures all of time. It has never, never been able to put away with. In the Bible, Genesis 1:27 through 28, it says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are seeing an evil today that has never existed in this world. We have always had sexual morality, homosexuality, you name it. Thievery, lust, fornication, adultery, you name it. But what we are facing today in the world, such as transgenderism, re-identifying your gender, men trying to have babies, science experimenting with human DNA, it's an altering of our very existence. We are seeing that evil happen in our world today. And yet, what is the church doing? We're busy working. We're busy being busybodies in the church. We're busy in our own perversions. We're busy in our own troubles and trials. And all the while, the world is caught up in addiction. The world is caught up in all kinds of evil. And the church can't even get together and pray anymore. That's why so many Christians are bound by sin and no love for each other. Because there's no prayer in the house of God. Because you just don't believe anymore. You just don't believe. You're calling God a liar. Well, guess what? Society already says God is a liar. They're saying, no, God, we know what your word says, that you created man and woman. But we're saying that we can choose what we want, and we can choose however we want. Society is creating and doing an evil today that has never existed before. And what are you doing, Christian? Are you busy with your life that you're not even winning souls for Christ? That you're not even living the gospel of Christ? Yes, you may go out there and do this good deed and do that good deed, but some of you are still bound by your sin. Jesus, but didn't we go and feed the poor? Jesus, when did we see you in prison? Jesus, when did we see you in the hospital? And Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You know, there are people in this world that do a lot of good things, but it is in their own name. It is in their own power, and it's not in the name of Jesus. And therefore, it don't measure up to a hill of beans. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. You know, we are headed for encounters with evil like society has never experienced. I heard a minister over the weekend say, the church will not go through such evil. The church will not go through this type of evil. We will be caught up in the rapture and everything before any bad stuff happens. We're seeing it happen already. We're seeing this happen already. While pulpits around across America are preaching what kind of gospel? Tickling the ears. You know, before I was a Christian, I was really good at being a con man. I could tell you what you want to hear and get what I want. You know, one time at a very big oil company, they had 200 applications, in-house interviews, only needed two people. All those people went, and I went in for an interview and got the job. Why? Because I told them what they wanted to hear. And I only went to the ninth grade. And here are these people with college degrees. And I got hired on with a job that required some kind of college, and I still got hired on. I'm not bragging about that, but I'm just trying to tell you how I used to be. But when God gets a hold of you, and when God humbles you, and God tells you it's His way, and that's the only way that matters, you have to learn to conform to His way. You have to learn to humble yourself. You have to understand that all of this is not in your power. It's not in your strength. We are about to go through things that are so corrupt and evil that it is going to shake the Church of Jesus Christ to the core. And there are so many that think they're ready and they're not ready, because you can see it clearly and just by not even handling their life today, their walk with Christ today in a way that's praising to Him and glorifying Him. The Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. You know, the society is calling God a liar. But I believe that when we as Christians don't live the way we ought to live, we call God a liar. And the Bible says that no liar shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Well, what is it that you're asking for? Are you asking the things that are in the will of God? Or are you just asking for what's in, you think, your best interest, what you think it will be good for your life? So when you surround yourself with godly people, when you surround yourself in the prayer house, in the prayer room, when you've been in prayer with God, then you're going to know how to conduct yourself. We are living in the days far more evil than the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet, where are the prayer warriors? Where has society tried to change genderism. It's saying that it's, you know, so many corporations, so many people out there are accepting this lie, hook, line, and sinker. The 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that they will introduce a lie. The spirit of Antichrist, this final Antichrist, will introduce a lie. And people are already buying it. And do you see how if you disagree with what the world is saying is right and holy, or whatever it is, or if it's approving a lifestyle, and you go against that, do you see how you're attacked? I just laughed the other day because Carlos Santana said that God created male and female. Oh, and they attacked Carlos Santana. Here's one of their own of the world. And they're attacking even him because he's even saying something that's true from the Bible. I didn't read the whole story. I don't need to, but I just laugh about these things. If you go against their narrative, if you go against the understanding of the world, the teachings of the world, then you're a racist, bigot, homophobic, you're a religious zealot, you're a Jesus freak. So get used to these things. This is what is happening. Society is calling God a liar. Look, Matthew 24, 12 through 13 says this. Jesus says in regards to the end times, he says, sin will be rampant everywhere. Meaning, what does that mean? That sin will be occurring everywhere. Even in the houses of Christians. Even in the houses of God. Sin is everywhere. And the love of many people will grow cold. This church, other churches, are experiencing the coldness, the cold hearts that once were warmed by the love of Jesus are now cold by the spirit of Satan. You know, people say, I want to go to church on Sunday and I want to hear a message that just makes me feel good. You're not going to feel good in hell. If there's no repentance of sin, if there's no the love of Christ not flooding your heart, the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to feel good if you die and leave this world and you are still in your sin. I'm looking at what is coming upon this world. I'm looking at what is being exposed in this world. Look, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many people will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Do you know what COVID revealed? COVID revealed what has been happening for years in the schoolhouse. All of this liberalism, this God-hating stuff, was in the colleges in the 60s. It was always being taught, drilled to them, in Berkeley, in USC, in colleges throughout the United States in the 60s and in the 70s and into the 80s. Into the early 80s came the theory, the doctrine in the colleges, critical race theory. It began to be taught, critical race theory. And what does critical race theory say? It says that all white people are racist. It's bringing up racism and it's turning it against those who have nothing to do with this. That America is a racist nation. America is not a racist nation. America is a nation in need of God, just like every other nation is. And we are not a perfect nation. And I love the United States of America, but America is guilty of its sin. And there has to be some people of God rising up in this nation, calling out for what it is. Sin is sin, and it's happening right now before our very eyes. If I'm going to go to the Astros game and say, God bless America, I'm going to stand up in the pulpit and speak the truth too. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But what did COVID reveal? When COVID hit in 2020, it revealed what had been in the colleges has now infiltrated into public schools. They already knew it was there, but it did not really come to life. Because when the kids went home and started doing their classes online with the teachers, what happened? Parents started saying, whoa, what are you saying? This is not textbook stuff. This is wrong. And they started going to parent-teacher meetings, and the teacher started saying, look, when the kids are in class in their bedroom, the parents cannot be in the classroom. Raise your hand if you heard that. Parents are trying to introduce that. They don't want the parents in the kids' bedroom when the videos are on. Well, that was stupid. So they couldn't get away with that. And then they started limiting parents speaking at the parent-teacher meetings to just 3 minutes, now 2 minutes, now 1 minute. Now they don't even want to hear it. That exposed the liberalism that was in the public school system. And when COVID, so to speak, died out after the presidential elections, then what happened? Everybody went back to school and found out that not everybody wants to be back in public school anymore. And we're starting to see everything is being exposed for what it is. And now we see in society everything is being exposed. There is nothing that is being hidden any longer. Pedophilia. Perversion, sexual perversion, pedophilia. They're trying to label this that they're just attracted to kids that are minors. And eventually they're going to make this legal around the world. All the while, right under our noses, we're seeing the biggest sex slavery trade ever. Children being abducted, children being kidnapped, children sold into sex slavery. They said that America is the biggest buyer and supporter of the sex slavery in the world. All of this happening. What's the church doing? What's the church doing? Where are you during prayer night? Where are you serving with all your mind, body, and soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, serving Him? Where are you? Where is your time and talent and treasure? No wonder the church has lost ground. The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. I understand that. But I think we're getting really close to the end. Look, read this again. Let me read these scriptures and bring them into context. Matthew again, 24:12-13. Sin will be rampant everywhere, says Jesus, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. But sadly, a lot of Christians are losing heart. They just want to give up. So they just turn the cheek, they turn the head. They don't want to deal with the drama. They don't want to deal with all of this. And they just let it happen and let me just take care of myself. That's the wrong thing too. Matthew 24:21-22. Jesus goes on to say about the end time. He says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be." Meaning what we're going to see happening in our day, the world has never seen it, and never will see it again. This is going to be the worst time of evil ever, ever. Do you know what the Romans used to do back in the days of the Christians? They used to take Christians, impale them on stakes, and put their bodies on fire with oil so that they could light the streets up at night, the streets of Rome. And they would put them on the sides of the yellow brick roads, light up the streets at night. They got so brutal in their Colosseums that they were thirsty for blood. They were thirsty for blood. They were hungry. They wanted to see the gladiators, and they wanted to see all of this killing and all of this. They thought it was this incredible sport, but they were thirsty for more blood and for more blood and for more blood. And you know, I'm not against martial arts, okay? I like the sport of boxing. I like the sport of different martial arts. But we are living in a day. And by the way, the United States American government is set up similar to the way Rome was set up in their government with the Senate and all of these things. Now, we are a bloodthirsty society as well. I remember one time I saw this martial arts competition several years ago. And the fight was so bloody, it made me sick. And you know, and I used to be in boxing. But I saw this fight, and at the end, this guy knocks this other guy out. I mean, senseless. Blood is everywhere. And this fighter, he has his, not gloves, but straps on, you know, and he gets his gloves, and he licks them. The other guy's blood is all over himself, but he licks his gloves. And he's like, he's in victory, yes. And the crowd is just cheering. This fight happened to be in Las Vegas. And the crowd was just cheering. This was in very recent times. And I'm like, this is the days of the Romans. And you know, the Romans, they hated Christians. The Romans believed in different gods. They really believed in idolatry. Whatever God could serve them, they accepted it. And that is what we're seeing today. You know, the Romans, and not only that, but the Greeks, they were very much involved in child pedophilia. They believed in it so much. They believed that that it would make their warriors stronger when the men would have sex with the little boys. This is true history. And it's repeating itself all over. All over the perversion. What's happening in our society, and it's going to get worse. Where is the Christian? Because the world is saying God is a liar. God is a liar. God is a liar. You know, let me read this again. Matthew 24:21-22. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. And unless those days, says Jesus, were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Meaning, because of the believer on earth, God is not going to allow this evil to go on for so long in our day. God is going to put an end to what we see happening. Luke 21:25-28. Jesus says in another part of end time prophecy in regards to the end times, Jesus says, and there will be strange signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. And here on the earth, nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. And people will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Do you notice that in recent times, people are infatuated with the red blood moon and things like that? The eclipse, they're seeing those incredible things. The Hubble telescope is going out. It's taking all these incredible pictures, and people are just fascinated by this stuff. But not only that, you're seeing the roaring of the tossing of the seas. You're seeing greater natural disaster events, fires and earthquakes and hurricanes and things like that. And not only that, but the certainty of catastrophic financial downfall is coming as well. You see all of these things coming, but not only that, you see this transgender. You see all of this redefining of marriage, the redefinition of what a man is and what a woman is, all of this evil. And it's all pointed at one thing, saying what? God is a liar. If I went up to you, Caesar, if I went up to you, Brother Robert, and said, you know, your daddy's a liar, without any cause, just cause, proof, nothing. If I went up to you, Pastor Eric, and said, your dad's a liar. Your dad, Elias, he's a liar. That would offend you. And we read in the Old Testament, we read how the prophets of God, they were offended by the evil things. You know, even Stephen the martyr in the book of Acts, what did Stephen the martyr say? He said in the New Testament, he said in a church sermon, he said, you uncircumcised brood of vipers, you always resist the Holy Spirit, and you always killed the prophets of the Old Testament. He called them for who they were. Why? Because he was offended of what they were saying about his God, about his Father. All we're called to do is speak the truth in love, but in the ears of this world, it will be hate to them. That's why in Acts chapter 4, the first thing that the church ever prayed for in their prayer room, what was it? It was for boldness. Do you pray for boldness? What boldness for what? To live the gospel of Jesus Christ in a world that hates Jesus. Because that's exactly what they prayed for. They were living with the Romans and with the Jews, and they all wanted these new Christians dead. And Jesus and what we just read, the days we're in will be evil more than those days. You haven't seen anything yet. America, you're so spoiled by these candy-coated preachers. You're so spoiled by this fake gospel. And in the twinkle of an eye, because that's the way God moves, in the twinkle of an eye, when everyone is saying peace and safety, this is going to all collapse. There will be no more light. There will be no running water, no more sewer. Things are going to collapse for a moment. And it's going to test everyone's faith. Even now, your faith is being tested. Verse 27, Luke 21, verse 27. Let me continue. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Luke 17, 29 through 30. Jesus says, but on that day, Lot went out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The day that the Lord Jesus comes in the rapture of the church, that same day, the judgment of God is going to fall. That same day. Because when Lot was taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that same moment, fire and brimstone fell and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That same day. This is all going to happen so fast, you're not going to have time to react. Your faith must be in Christ. Repent of your sins. Turn to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the only message the pulpit is ever called to preach. But the American pulpit and churches has gone so far off. Our eyes are on this world. The Bible says, let your eyes, let your mind be on things above, not on things that are on this world. Look, Judges chapter 7, verse 2 through 7. Let me take you here. In Judges chapter 7, I'm going to read to you out of the New King James Version. In verse 2, there was a judge by the name of Gideon. Gideon had about 32,000 soldiers with him. Gideon was told by God, I'm going to use you, Gideon, to destroy the enemies of Israel. And Gideon said, how? I'm young. I'm from the smallest clan, family, tribe in all of Israel. How are you going to use me? And God said, oh, Gideon, I've kept my eye on you. You will do just fine. By my hand, Gideon, you're going to do great things. You're going to deliver Israel. By my hand. Look, as the church, we cannot do anything but only by the hand of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, there I am. If Jesus is not here, I don't want to be there. God tells Gideon, you're going to fight this enemy. You're going to meet him head on. You're not going to run. Judges 7:2. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give to the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own has saved me. They're saying, you have way too many soldiers. If you win this battle right now, Israel is going to boast in their own glory, in their own strength. Sometimes God has to dwindle you down to nothing so that you can win and give God the glory. Sometimes you have to see when all is lost, oh no, and then God came in. And you know it was God who saved you. Verse 3, God says, now therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. From a 32,000 man army, 22,000 left. 10,000, that's all. There is a great number of people in the church today who are called to fight, who are equipped to fight, but they don't want to fight. They don't want to fight the good fight of faith. Deep in your heart, Christian, you know who you are. You're running from God. You're hiding from God. You're fighting against God when you should be fighting the devil. You're fighting God. These people went home. Where are the faithful today? Where were the faithful then? They ran. They were cowards. They left. They were called. They were chosen. But they left. They abandoned the call of God. 10,000 remained. Still too many. The Lord said to Gideon in verse 4, the people are still too many. Verse 4, bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And then it will be that whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. You know, this water, you know, water, oil, the dove, it's all symbolic of the Holy Spirit. It's all symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And so God said, take these 10,000 soldiers that you have, go down to the river. Look, verse 5, he says, so he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set him apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their head to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. What happened? Only 300 of those 10,000 went on one knee, got some water, and was drinking like this on one knee. Why? All of them had a physical thirst. As Christians, all of us need to drink from the Holy Spirit. All of us need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We're in battle. But these 300, they didn't get on both knees like the rest of them and stick their head in the water. Because when you did that, then what happened? You're not aware of the surprise attacks that could come upon you. The ambush that could happen when you're tending to your own need. They understood, these 300 men, they understood they needed a drink from the water. They were thirsty. They were tired. But they knew they were still in a war, and they had to be aware. The Bible says we are to be aware of the plans and the schemes of the evil one. The Bible says to put on the armor of God so that you can put out the fiery arrows of the evil one. They got on one knee. They drank like this, but they were looking left, looking to the right. They were ready to fight. They were not going to be attacked. They were not going to be caught off guard. And that has to be the heart of a Christian today. We cannot be caught off guard. There is no excuse for us today, church. There is no excuse. To whom much is given, much is required. What does Jesus say? He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Then the Lord, in verse 7, said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. God said, let them all go. God said, I don't need them. God said, I don't need all these people because they don't need me. Look, God did not need one single soldier to deliver Israel. God could do it all by himself. But do you see the love of God? How he wants to share in victory with you? Jesus says in the book of Revelation, those who overcome shall sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Amen? In Judges 8, verse 10 through 12, here's the end of the war. It says, by this time, Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor with about 15,000 warriors, all that remained of the allied armies of the east, for 120,000 had already been killed. Those 300 soldiers of Gideon had took out 120,000. Gideon, circled around by the caravan route east of Nobah and Jogbeha, taking the Midianite army by surprise. Zeba and Zalmunna, the two Midianite kings, fled, but Gideon chased them down and captured all their warriors. All of them, every single one of them, even the kings, were captured. God said, I will deliver you. God is not a liar. That's where you say, amen. Amen. God is not a liar. If God says he can deliver you, he can deliver you. If God says he can set the captives free, in the name of Jesus Christ, he can set the captives free. Hallelujah. But do you want to be set free? That Jesus asked many people in the Bible, do you want to be healed? Amen. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus would ask several times in the Bible. Because there are people that do not want to be set free. They are that deceived by the enemy. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, says Paul to the church, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having guarded your waist and truth with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is why I say, verse 18, look at that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I'm absolutely convinced. I was taught as a young minister that the power of the church is in the prayer house. Jesus came into the temple and he tore it to pieces. He said, "My house shall be a house of prayer, and you have turned it into a den of thieves and robbers." Grace Christian Center will not be a den of thieves and robbers. No, it will not. It will be a house of prayer. It will be a house of prayer. And where are the prayer warriors? I looked at the prayer warriors on Wednesday night. I said, you guys are the prayer warriors because you believe that with all that's going on in the world today and the Lord calling us to come together to pray, even if it's just once a week for 1 hour, do you see the arrow of busyness that is being shot at you today, Christian? People can say, Michael, and I've been accused of this, Michael, you're being religious about this. Just because we may not show up to a prayer meeting, you think that our heart's not right with God, or that this is wrong and that's wrong. Doesn't matter what I think. Were you there? Did you hear the call of God? Do you see what's happening in society today? Do you see how we're called for such a time as this? Do you see what is happening? It is not going to happen by our own hand, but only by the hand of God. And Paul says it at the end, you put on the whole armor of God to come against the devil. And once you've put on the whole armor of God, you pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And this is where I say, people who have a problem not making it to the prayer meeting, it's because they don't have a prayer home life. That's it. You know, somebody told me, don't ever say that, Michael. I'm like, why? Why? It's true, because I've been there. When I wasn't found to be faithful in the prayer meeting, it's because I wasn't praying on my own. I know. I'm talking from experience. You see, because it's not about me coming there, you coming there. It's about coming there for each other. It's about building up something that's greater than us. It's the testimony. It's the cross of Jesus. And we see what's happening out there in society. And we have to ask ourselves, are we going to die to ourselves so that Christ could be alive in us? Many in the churches today in America don't want to die to themselves. They want to be alive to their own pleasures, to their temporary fulfillment of things. They want to pay attention to the busyness of life. They want to give attention. They want to give heed to the teachings of, you got to do this and you got to do that. And when Jesus said, yes, give to Caesar what is Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. Let me put it to you this way. In the public schoolhouse, we've always thought, not me, but people have always thought, Christians in America, my kid goes to school, public school, Monday through Friday, 7-8 hours a day. But it's okay, because they get to go to church on Sunday for that Sunday school meeting. How did that work out? How did that work out? That little 30, 45 minutes of being in Sunday school class compared to being around all of that evil all week long. Even the teachers are wanting to devour them, having immoral relations with their students. That's what's happening out there. Comparing that to, oh, just spending a little bit of time on Sunday in Sunday school. I believe the church should be in prayer at all times. I believe the church should be coming to prayer sporadically, calling a prayer meeting, emergency prayer meetings. We need to come pray together. We need to do this. I remember growing up in the church, that happening. I remember that. I saw those things in my life where my family would go and pray. My grandfather would go, them grandmother, they would go and pray till late at night at the churches. And it was a testimony because here I am today. Prayer works. Amen. The power of prayer. A church of prayer is a church of power. I believe that so much of the Bible-believing churches in America, Grace Christian Center, we're going through a reset. Things are being redone. Because the Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. And God loves His people and God loves His churches. But judgment begins in the house of God first. We need to get things right in the house of God first before we can go forward. And we have not much time left because we see what's already happening out in society. To whom much is given, much is required. As pastor at the Church of Jesus Christ, the pastor is telling this little pastor to put the word out there that if you're all for Jesus and this word has penetrated you and you hear the call of salvation for the lost, then show up. Show up at everyday society. Live a life that is holy and righteous before God. Touch no unclean thing. Run away from sin. Stop lying. Stop being deceived. Stop it. And seek the things of God. This is the call. This is the call for the last fight, the last breath of the church. It's here, it's now. You used to come pray. You used to do this. You used to do that. Hey, you're still alive. Keep on. Jesus says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. Just hanging on is not enduring. Enduring means you're fighting. In a boxing match, in that 12th championship round, when the scorecard seemed to be at a draw, and those two fighters would go out there and they let it all out. They did not hold back. They did not hold back. They were swinging to the end. And I'm not talking about that movie Rocky. I've seen many, many boxing matches in my life. And Paul said, we do not hit against the air as a boxer. We do not do that. We're precise in our fight with the devil. We know what we're doing, but you give it all because that is what Jesus did. He gave it all. And that was an example for us to follow, that we love like He loves, that we believe like He believes, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way. Jesus says that the road to hell is wide and many shall find it. And Jesus says that the road to heaven is narrow and only a few shall find it. You must be narrow-minded. You must be narrow-minded because His way is a narrow way and only a few shall find the way to heaven. Those boxers gave it all until the bell. And they gave it all. I remember I saw one boxing match where in the same round, one fighter got knocked down twice and the other fighter got knocked down three times. They would not give up. You keep getting knocked down, but you get back up and you fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. That's my heart's desire, that you be saved. That's why I'm up here doing this. That's why I'm up here speaking from the written word of God, so that you would be saved. I know I have a place in heaven. My heart, my conscience is clear before God. And I'm going to be up there looking for you, because that was my heart's desire, because God put that desire there, that you would be saved. But finish your race faithfully. Learn from Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen? Amen. Receive that word in Jesus' name. Give God praise in His house. Amen. Amen. Give Him praise.